Good evening. I'm at the home of Nancy Cahill with Bob O'Haver and Barbara Hotchkiss, Nancy, and my husband Alan. And I'm Ann Woods, and we're all here about to interview Bob to get a little bit of the history of Clintonville that he's lived, and we haven't. So with that, yes, today is September 12th, 2003, and it's 8 o'clock in the evening. Bob, tell us, give us your name and your when you were born, and tell us a little bit about yourself, a little background about how you came to Clintonville, or you were born here, that sort of information.
My name is Robert O'Haver. I was born in July the 23rd, 1920. I've lived here in Clintonville on West North Broadway for, maybe half of my life. I was actually born at my grandmother's on 141 or 142 West First Avenue. And
here in Columbus.
Here in Columbus, Ohio, yes. And I spent 3 years in the service during World War II, 39 months to be exact, in the Southwest Pacific, New Guinea, and Philippines. Married, one son, two grandchildren. Went to Clinton Elementary School, Crestview, and then on to Central High School, evening school, which was during the Depression.
So you were in this area as a child,
I was born. I was raised. Then my actual home was on the end of West North Broadway.
Okay.
And so, my paternal grandparents and four grown sons moved on the last half of the block on the north side of West North Broadway. West of Milton. It was a country, dirt road, no facilities, and they picked this area. They built a temporary home. They moved there in 1908, and they picked this one spot because there was a natural spring there. And they loved it so much, they found it in the fall of 1908, and they got everybody together, and they built a temporary home, a big long home with an aisle down the center, a hallway, and it was only actually covered with some sort of heavy paper on the outside. Their fuel bill was probably high for that winter, but they enjoyed it.
You were burning wood, or how were you keeping
it? I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
And probably coal.
Oh, okay.
This was back in the coal days. I worked at Lennox Furnace Company. I was the fifth person employed at Lennox Furnace Company and worked there for a number of years. And left there at the beginning of the war buildup when we were changing over from production of furnaces to military goods. So my department, I was in the advertising department, and it was sort of stagnant. And so I found out about work with the government, and I was a printer. And so I went to work at in Dayton, Ohio for the U.S. Army Air Corps at an increase in pay of about $400 a year, which back in those days was a lot more money. And I worked in the United Nations section where they supplied airplanes, mechanic sets of tools, and spare engines for our allies. And there was an interesting part about this. When I went to work over there, the man who was in charge of the printing department I was hired at a higher rate than he was. Well, not that we had friction, but we had just too many people on the day shift, so they put me on the night shift, which I enjoyed. Swing shift, really, you know. And I had two people working with me. We didn't have a lot to do, but one thing, when I reported in for work, we worked in the Third National Bank building, and the government had all floors except the first one, and they had guards on every corner. And I was to go up to one department and pick up a mail bag of shipping instructions for aircraft. And I had to get a top clearance, secret clearance. And I come down the elevator, and with a guard, I went to the lower door entrance in an alley. And at about a certain time, there was to be a knock on the door. And a military vehicle pulled up, and I went out with a mail bag, all these guys with machine guns. And they took me over to the post office, and they signed for everything. And that was sort of intriguing.
Mm-hmm. You still don't know what you were giving to them?
These were shipping orders for aircraft to our allies. Mm-hmm. And we had English, French, no Germans, Russians, different allies, some in, you know, absentee governments. And the interesting place was, to me, I didn't get to visit too many different departments, was in the men's toilet to hear the different languages. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I wasn't used to hearing foreign languages talk and so forth. And we had one German man. He was a big guy. Oh, God, he was a monster. And we were on the southeast corner of the second floor, and the parking lot was behind it. And honestly, that big man got into a little car that wasn't much bigger than this table. Mm-hmm. It was a marvel. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a monster. I mean, you know, like 6'5" or something. Wow. Like that, and maybe 300 pounds, and a big beard, and
Barbarossa.
The only time I've seen him at a distance when...
Was he redheaded?
God only knows.
Well, Bob, let me take you back a
okay.
little bit in time.
Yeah, fine.
You had mentioned to us earlier that you had grown up and at a time when this Clintonville area was being developed and the Clinton Theater was being built.
That's right.
Can you take us back to that time and to what you knew about the area before your birth, obviously, what had happened in this area? I think you had mentioned something about the river being dammed at Doddridge Street. Recreate what Clintonville was like at that time when you came in on the picture.
Well, Clintonville Theater, since I went to Clintonville Elementary, I'd walk up to school and I'd walk by there four times a day, come home for lunch, and watch them build it from the ground up. And it was a special theater, and at that time it was the last neighborhood theater built in Columbus, and it was special. I mean, it was larger and nicer seats, and they also thought that it was such a bigger theater and nicer. The other theaters charged a dime for children, and Clinton charged 15 cents. And same way with quarter at the other surrounding theaters. The Clinton Theater was 35. So,
you said
you'll have to prod me along a little bit.
You said you watched it being built. Did you ever get to see the decoration of the inside while it was going up?
No.
Or not until later on?
We had a barricade across the front, and I never got to to see it until it was opened. And I went more than I should because this was Depression time. But it was a beautiful, and at the time, they had a huge oval, concave, like a huge shell in the ceiling. And it was painted to look like the heart of an abalone shell. Now, around the cornice of this oval, mm-hmm. was there was an offset with colored lights around the whole circumference. And they could play those lights. I don't know if they had, in those days they didn't have tapes, it must have been done by hand. And when the movie was over, or when it was going down to start the movie, they would start with the colors and bring from a darker hue on up to a brighter hue and different colors, something similar to a sunset, but on the spatial globe. And this globe must have been, to my knowledge, at least 30 by 18 feet, or mm-hmm. maybe perhaps 40 by 20.
The dome, the size of the dome?
The size of the dome, mm-hmm. yes.
Okay.
And then when they come up, and then they'd have the bright lights on the side.
It would, when you say it was like an abalone shell, do you mean it was pearlescent? Did it have a...
Yeah, it would give you the... to me, that was what it looked like. I mean, abalone shell is a beautiful shell,
yeah.
And it wasn't white like a clam shell. I mean, it was
just a flat color.
No, and with all these different colored lights shining on it,
some kind of sheen.
Yeah,
it
was very spectacular.
Wow.
What about the walls? Do you remember anything?
Well, there was drapes, and we had some two boxes. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, were never used, but they were there, and we had a beautiful organ.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Can you describe it?
Well, they played organ music with, I think when I started there, we still had silent movies,
mm-hmm.
and they would play the organ with the movies to exaggerate, you know, certain parts, and... And they played spatial music on it, too, in intermissions, or before the movie would start. They would play all kinds of pieces.
Mm-hmm. Now, were the drapes all around or just in parts?
Just in part, mm-hmm. more or less like the building would have had windows along.
Right, okay.
And we would have drapes.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit more about the boxes. You said there was boxes that were never
there
used.
There were a box on each side of the stage, and to make it appear like a regular theater.
Uh-huh.
But to my knowledge, at least, I never saw anyone there.
Were you ever up in the balcony?
There was no balcony.
There was no balcony.
There was no balcony.
Okay.
Those box seats, even in live theaters, are usually the worst place to sit because you can't see half the stage.
And there was never any live performances in the Clinton Theater. And so to watch a movie, I don't think it would have been very well.
Was there any kind of orchestra pit that you remember?
I don't really remember. There might have been a little space. I never said, I don't think I was up in front ever to sit there. Maybe I walked up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had my spatial seat. And
where was your spatial seat?
There was two aisles, a north aisle and a south aisle, and the sides of that were half as wide as the center aisle. And my seat was the first seat on the north aisle, back by there was a sort of a wall there with glass in it to separate the lobby from the theater seating.
Okay.
And that's where I would sit.
So this would be, is like half the seating was here, and then the other half was divided here, and these were the aisles, like
that's
that?
Right, and that's where I sit.
Right here, okay.
Right there.
Was anybody ever in your seat when you got
Well, I didn't carry a gun then, but no.
Just knew not to sit there.
No, you just got there earlier. I'm sure that somebody probably would have sat there.
And
who knows?
This is the back of the theater here, right?
That's
it's
the beginning of the lobby.
Okay, so the lobby's up here.
Right.
Gotcha.
Well, here's the lobby starting here.
Okay.
And the entrances and the hallways and coming on over to the...
Was it all glass?
And we also had aisles along this side, too.
Okay, gotcha.
Can you describe that wall, the glass wall? Was it decorated or was it just plain glass?
It was solid up to... above your head.
Oh, really?
Where you would be sitting.
Okay.
And then there was glass maybe 2, maybe 3 feet above that,
mm-hmm.
probably for it to silence the area from the commotion in the lobby.
Was it frosted or did it have any decoration that you would have?
Any pictures on it in frosted glass? Okay.
I couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the carvings on the walls, you know, around the dome? Any of the decoration?
The plaster,
no,
molded plaster?
No, we didn't have the fancy carvings or plaster carvings like they had in the few big theaters downtown. No, it was not.
Quite
not of that class.
Mm-hmm. Though there was some carving on the walls, it's still there.
If there was, it wasn't outstanding to my memory.
Okay.
Now, when you'd go to the theater, there were always stores here and here, right? And you'd go buy your ticket right in the box office.
Right.
And then this was just, you would walk back to... the glass and wood doors and enter the theater, or was there kind of a foyer?
There was a foyer there, perhaps 12 from the front, including the ticket office, at least 12 and perhaps 16 feet, maybe 18, mm-hmm. maybe even 20 feet. And it was on a slope, it went up on a slope, and it had a terrazzo floor. And all along on the at the part facing Broad facing High Street, there were glass cases with
posters
in for the showing the current movie, and maybe on the in the foyer here. And then on further back, there would be coming attractions, posters of that,
and the refreshment stand would have.
And then on side. It was very limited, like perhaps popcorn. Mm-hmm. It might have had soft drinks, but that was out of my league. I mean, I was lucky to get into the theater.
And there's a terrazzo floor. There's still some tiling that extends out onto
there's
the side.
There's terrazzo out in a...
The red or scarlet and gray, I guess.
Yes.
From the front of the store
mm-hmm.
over
yes.
to the curb on High Street
right.
to this
exactly.
day. With the exception of a couple of spots that have been dug out and
right.
concrete put in.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Do you recall what was in those storefronts when you first started going?
Yes, the north storefront was a shoe company, Hanover Shoe Company.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they had them in suburbs anyplace else, but it was a good shoe store that they had downtown, and they had good shoes.
Right.
They on the south one, where the wine store is now, or the wine shop, I
mm-hmm.
do not remember what was there. I have
Someone
no idea.
There was a hat shop there at some point. I don't know which store, but
could have been. I would have walked by there in the daytime so many, many times.
Well, obviously there was not a candy store in there, because if you were
a kid,
you would remember.
There were candy stores. We had drug stores all over Clintonville. We had one just south of Broadway, and right at the corner of Brighton and High. And they were, Drake's Drug Store was half of the current hearing aids
mm-hmm.
building. That was two separate storerooms, one building, two separate storerooms. In fact, it was just incorporated into one front here within the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The second store was Drake's Drug Store, and it had a soda fountain, mm-hmm. and penny candy for the kids, mm-hmm. and your typical round ice cream tables with wire-backed chairs, mm-hmm. and showcases along the wall for boxed candy and Lord only knows what else. And Donald Drake. And down at Brighton and High was Jimmy Kennard's drugstore. And he was more friendly. He was short, heavy set, not real big and fat, but just, and he was a typical kid's person. Now, he had a, his was a little bit wider store, but not quite as long and deep. And he had a soda fountain and a place with chairs. And he was there for a great number of years. And
So, Bob, before the theater was in that space, was there another building there? Was that whole block full of buildings?
Farmland.
When I went through, when I went there, I would have been in the second grade. I would have been 7 years old, mm-hmm. and I would not have been up there, walking by there, and I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Before that.
But between there and Broadway, was a small grocery store, a Japanese laundry that did shirts. And a residence, and then Drake's drugstore, and then a grocery store on the corner.
Okay.
We had a number of small grocery stores, neighborhood stores. Yes.
And High Street.
And
where the hearing aid company is
yeah.
now.
And that residence is still there, isn't it? That's the one that.
It's in back. It was Lon Boyer's home. He was a carpenter. And we had a citizen substation where we used to get our papers and carry them to our paper routes. And the Armory boys liked to make Lon mad, so he'd cuss. And he knew how to cuss. He had a garage right next to the substation. And he'd really let out a string. Oh, we had a street fair. Well, we can get to later on, but while I think of it, all different kinds of little places. And one of them was, they had two befores mounted, and the hawker would sell you three spikes or something like that to pound in the board. If you could pound them all three in, you won a prize. Well, like most of these things were fixed, and one was made of half lead. And Lon, I mean, he had pounded spikes all his life. I mean, he knew how many hammers, blows it took to put a 3 or 4 inch spike in there. And when they would bend on him, oh, I just happened to be right there at one time. He was really cussing this guy out. Lon Boyer.
More about what other kinds of entertainment or what kinds of things happened in this area? What other kinds of things were going on?
Well, we had the Olentangy Amusement Park.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had been there more times. I could tell you more. It was a little bit further away. And as I grew up old enough to go to places like that, it was during the Depression. And consequently, but it had a large swimming pool, an Olympic-sized pool.
A public pool?
Public pool. Well, I think maybe it cost, a public pool, but it cost a certain amount. We had, I think they call it the Red Devil, what do you call these things that go up and down?
Roller coasters.
So the Red Devil?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the trestles were all painted red, wooden trestles.
Right, sure.
And I was never on that. We had a shoot-to-shoot lake at the bottom, a tower, and this was more like a small barge built out of heavy, heavy timbers and would hold. It was long. In fact, I just had a book on Columbus, and I looked through it recently, and it showed a picture of it. So there would be probably four abreast and maybe four or five rows, and they would pull it up on the incline, and you could hear it. They had a safety device. You could hear it clink as it went up so it wouldn't ever run backwards. Mm-hmm. And it got up in this tower, and they would turn it around, and then we'd let it come down and hit this water and splash, and everybody gets soaking wet.
Dunking, public dunking.
They had, well, next, an interesting thing, they had a, I don't know what you would call it. If it was for birds, it would be an aviator, aviary. Mm-hmm. But this was for monkeys. It was round and domed on the top with a small tree inside and a number of monkeys.
So a monkey-ary.
No. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were interesting. And I had an uncle, one of my uncles would go down there and sit for the hour and just watch those monkeys. Mm-hmm. He said it was more interesting than watching people. Mm-hmm. And
was it gorillas or was it monkeys?
Monkey,
sure it was monkeys.
Monkeys.
When your grandparents moved here and built the house, you said it was all country and dirt road. Was that when the dams had, were the dams built at that point? Were the dams on the old Tangi for the canoe clubs? Or did that come, that must have come later?
No, 1908. I think your old Tangi amusement park must have started in the, at least in the 1890s.
Yeah.
And at that time, well, I don't really know the date, but in the early 1900s, I think the Arcadia was the city boundary, but I don't know at what date, because at one time, from the university north was all farmland, and I don't know how far back that goes. But the regular streetcars in the early 1900s stopped at Doddridge Street, and that was the car barns on the southeast corner. This was a huge building. Mm-hmm. They had big, huge doors, tall doors, because they were run on the trolleys.
Right.
And they could get at least three or four or more streetcars, two lanes in through each door. And that's where they stored them for the busy type. And then across the street, just north of North Street, where the new Olentangy Village apartments are. Well, first we know that there's a ravine just 100 yards north of North Street. They had a trolley car track that went down and made a U-turn and come back. And there was a bridge across this ravine to the Olentangy Amusement Park. And they would let people off there, because people would come out and spend the day, you know, on Saturday or Sunday, and they'd have baskets full of food. And in the lower part, the picnic area, where the new apartment buildings are,
that was the
Olentangy Village. And that was a big picnic area. And kids could play there and everything, and make a full day of it. And of course that's gone.
And about the dam, where they had dammed it?
One of the things that they had, well, let me first, we were talking about animals. We had an elephant, medium-sized elephant.
At the park?
At the Olentangy Village, Olentangy Amusement Park.
Uh-huh.
And they would take the elephant down each morning down to the river and bathe it, so forth. And up here in West North Broadway, in this area, you could hear it trumpeting in the morning.
Wow. Did they actually have like circus performances with these animals?
No.
At all at
no,
the Allentown? No, did they just
targeted? Just a zoo for attraction.
Okay.
And there was no other animals, to my knowledge, ever there, other than the monkeys and the elephant.
Monkey house, I guess, is what they call those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, and they had other parts. They had a theater there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was interested in.
And I can't talk too much about it because it was out of my league when I was a little boy. But they had plays there in the theater, and they had people that.
Indoor theater or an outdoor theater?
Indoor.
Indoor theater.
A regular theater.
Yeah, but did it have lots of kind of verandas around the side with open windows for the summer breeze?
I really don't remember.
Okay.
It was something for kids my age, we just walked by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And
right.
it went in one ear and out the other. Nothing stuck.
Uh-huh.
And,
sure.
And we had another thing called a dodgem.
Did
you ever see a picture of that?
I had to dodgem cars. Mm-hmm. Today, but what was it? Describe.
Well, it was a room, and it was open on sides, because it was a spectator game as ride as well as the people that were in that. And these were round cars, and seat for I think two in it, and the top of this room was covered in was probably copper.